Basically, it was a series. It was all the recordings the band did that are available and highlights from those sessions from 1964. I should also mention the I Get Around, that version, and several other takes of them recording basically live in the studio, making stuff up, and would eventually become the album Party. The full, all the recording sessions can be found on this box set, which is called Party, Uncovered, and Unplugged.
Now, speaking of that, you did mention that for once the Beach Boys sounded like they were having fun, and that's because in spite of the cheery, sunny appearance of the band that they tried to put through in their promotional material and in their album covers, they faced a lot of demons, particularly the Wilsons, Carl Wilson and Brian Wilson, especially Brian, who was the recipient of a lot of abuse from his father. There is a wonderful memoir it is actually a biography about Brian Wilson that was released around the time of him releasing his version of the Smile record, which we'll talk about a little bit later on in this program. Mm-hmm. But during the course of that, it was revealed that Brian Wilson was physically abused by his father, and he was hit on the side of his head one time so severely that he went deaf in his one ear.
Which is very startling to hear, and tragic as well.
And especially when you find out his father was one of the main proponents managerially for the band, and you can even hear his father on some of those Party session recordings, which gives it, even though it is a fun record and a fantastic pseudo live recording, it does add a weird gravity to the whole situation where you can kind of feel the band is trying to let off steam while feeling under pressure.
Yeah, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but it's pretty more well known now. Obviously, Brian Wilson had, and a lot of the Wilsons had some issues. Dennis was another.
Dennis, definitely.
Later on.
Yeah.
Brian Wilson had some mental health issues which weren't really addressed properly. And also, he did a lot of drugs.
Which we'll be talking about later. That definitely played a factor in some of the future Beach Boys recordings. Prior to that, we did hear another track, though, that was taken from that Keep an Eye on Summer compilation, Dance, 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 an alternative version that was recorded, intended for the 1965 album The Beach Boys Today, but it was replaced by another recording of it. So what's really interesting around this period with, as the aforementioned Party record, with Beach Boys Today, with Summer Nights and Summer Days, was that these albums saw a maturation of the band, where they went away from just writing songs about girls and cars and the beach to making more complex arrangements, especially due to the songwriting capabilities of Brian Wilson, who made some interesting and really unparalleled arrangements for pop songs. Like, you weren't hearing this type of material, not from their competitors in the likes of the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. Like, this was simply unfathomable to hear these complex arrangements within these songs. And there's always this thing that people talk about with Brian Wilson where he used the studio as an instrument.
Oh, absolutely, especially on those, on Pet Sounds, a lot of the albums that came after.
And, you know, I think people hear that sort of term and, you know, they just kind of take it for granted. You have to figure, in 1964, 1965, recording technology is not what it was right now. You didn't have all these processors, you didn't have all these effects that were going on at the time. Now that you can just open up an app on your phone and you can add reverb or different like delay effects, like this is something where he had to manually figure out how to do different things, and it included using special microphone setups within a studio. It included using non-traditional instruments such as like cowbells and like pieces of paper being torn up as parts of these arrangements, and it created unique sounds that no one else was doing. And we did talk about a little bit of their relationship with the Beatles. They had, I guess, what you would call a friendly rivalry, where they would try to one-up one another, where Beach Boys, for example, they would release Today, and then the Beatles would release something like, maybe Rubber Soul, and then Beach Boys would go and do Pet Sounds, Beatles would go and do Sgt. Pepper's, and it was always this kind of game of seeing who can do the greatest studio trickery, who can make the most complex arrangements. And yeah, that was something that McCartney, Lennon, and Brian Wilson talked about quite a bit in this time.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit more about, I think, in the next break after, we're going to play some cover versions of Beach Boys songs next, but in the next Beach Boys set after this, we'll talk a little bit about the Pet Sounds sessions and the Smile sessions, legendary Smile sessions. and eventually what became of that. And maybe we can also mention how long they spent on the song Good Vibrations.
Oh, absolutely. And the Smile record, and talk about, you know, history's greatest lost record. Just mentioning what we started off that set with, though, because it was longer.
Oh, we didn't mention those. Oh, yeah. So before Dance, 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 we heard an alternate version of that. We heard I Do.
Mm-hmm. That was a song originally written and recorded by Beach Boys, not officially released, but was a demo recorded for the Castells, and they ended up recording a version of I Do that became a top charting single. So Brian Wilson definitely helped that band out in that regard. Prior to that, we heard an alternative version of Don't Back Down. So you can find the original version of that on 1964's All Summer Long, but this one has a much more rocky edge to it, mm-hmm. with those very incessant pounding drums.
Yes. Prior to that, we heard Land Ahoy and Cindy, Oh Cindy, two tracks, outtakes, actually, from two separate releases. But so Land Ahoy was actually an outtake from...
I believe it would have been Surfing USA.
Yeah, okay.
What's interesting, though, is that the melody would be reused on Cherry, Cherry Coupe, which was a song that wound up on Shutdown Volume 2. So, even though they never released that officially, they did reuse the structure and the melody of that. And Cindy Oh Cindy, a great song, just never officially released. That was recorded during the Surf and Safari sessions. And we started things off with an early session of their debut single, the song Surfin'.
Yeah, and you can find that version of that particular song on the Made in America box set, which came out, I think, in the 90s. And we're going to continue next with some pretty cool covers we managed to scrounge up here, starting off with the Jesus and Mary Chain.
You know, they were definitely indebted by the Beach Boys, and they made no secret of that. And this is a hellacious version of Surfin' USA, really showing, despite the sunny disposition of the Beach Boys, how much they influenced punk and alternative music. So brace yourself for the most fierce version of Surfin' USA you'll probably ever hear here on Revolution Rock.
Take it to the news. You can get it.
You're listening to Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche, and we are playing what we're calling our Endless Summer, our tribute to some of the deep cuts, outtakes, and alternate versions of the many songs that were recorded by the one and only Beach Boys band.
And of course, there's so many great popular songs that we just can't really get away with playing. So I decided instead, let's play a few covers, some notable covers of some of their greater best known material, including that last song, Ronnie Spector, Full Circle, doing Don't Worry Baby. That's taken from her She Talks to Rainbow's EP from 1999. Now, this is Full Circle for a reason, because Brian Wilson was obsessed with a particular song. And what song was that? Be My Baby.
Yeah, Be My Baby. I was like, it's in that Tarantino movie.
Yep, it's in a lot of movies, but yeah, by the Ronettes. And he basically was so obsessed with it that he had a custom record player in his house that would just repeatedly play that and wear out multiple copies of it because he loved that song so much. And this was part of when he was going through a mental health episode, and he definitely was relapsing into some like very negative behavior of his, and he had a lot of substance dependency issues as well. There's no getting around that. But he considered the song an anchor, a lifelong and a personal aspiration. And so I think this was a brilliant gesture from Ronnie Spector from Ronettes to cover this song. I think that's brilliant, and it's a beautiful version to hear from her. Prior to that, though, we heard something from Canada's own Cub.
Yeah, we heard their version of Surfer Girl from Betty Colo, their 1993 album, which we've played from countless times over the years. Prior to that, we heard some music from Yola Tango's. They did Little Honda.
They did Little Honda. That's taken from their 1997 record, I Can Hear the Heart Beating as One. I believe we actually heard them perform that live when they performed in Detroit. This past year.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
It was fantastic. And then, of course, that rip-roaring version by the Jesus and Mary Chain of Surfin' USA. If you like that version, you can track that down on their Barbed Wire Kisses compilation record. So we ended off our last Beach Boys retrospective look, kind of capping off with 1965. And they're really blossoming. They're becoming a band that's getting into more complex arrangements, more mature songwriting themes. And so Brian Wilson goes full tilt into this. He makes what he calls a teenage prayer to God with Pet Sounds, this album that defied all expectations or possibilities of what pop music can do. It is arguably the first orchestral pop record. Of course, you can, you know, probably bring up other examples to say, well, it's not necessarily the first, but it's definitely the most complete and really most awe-inspiring. You can say a lot of things about Pet Sounds. It is a beautiful record featuring 12 amazing pop songs, one weird instrumental,
yes,
and a number of sounds that are just unconventional. There are sounds of dogs barking, train tracks. There's, what's that thing?
Paper ripping.
Paper ripping. There is like weird like metal sheets being clung. Like this is basically when you see in a movie, like the idea of some studio engineer, mad genius going, we're going to have this in here. We're going to
doing some Foley sound.
We're going to have some popcorn popping. It's like, this is Brian Wilson to a T, whose idea was, we're not just going to use traditional instruments. He took some inspiration actually from the avant-garde composer John Cage, who went to unconventional sounds from stuff like steaming water or just the ambient noise of a room to say, no, these are parts of a song as well, and I'm going to incorporate that into here. Now, we would be remiss to say Brian Wilson, he just didn't do this sober-minded. He, definitely was under the influence of some things at this time.
Yes, and lyrically he also collaborated with someone that wasn't in the Beach Boys.
Oh, well, I know for sure he did that with the subsequent record, Smile.
Oh, maybe I'm mixing it up. Yeah.
Yeah, this one, I believe it was all the Beach Boys who did the songs on this one, and they composed everything aside from one cover, a great version of Sloop John B.
On this one, though, it features the Wrecking Crew playing the instrumentation.
That is correct.
And that's not the Beach Boys. That was actually, it featured Carole Kane and a series of session musicians that Phil Spector would often use.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Beach Boys did do vocal harmonies and sing on it, and add in that respect, but it also might have been kind of weird for them. They're like, we're the Beach Boys, we're going to make a record but we're not really going to be on it.
And it was essentially, it wasn't even meant to be a Beach Boys record.
I think it was, yeah.
Brian Wilson was going to make it a solo record. It was going to be his thing. But then I guess either the other Beach Boys or record executives told him it would not sell as a solo record. And so he relented and he allowed the Beach Boys to be there, mainly in name. But honestly, he used the Beach Boys like instruments as well, as he did for any of the other instruments on this record, to great effect. It is one of the most powerful pop records of all time. And you just named the songs on here. It's incredible. You have Caroline No, Slip John B, God Only Knows, Wouldn't It Be Nice. I mean, this is just a who's who of the greatest pop songs of the 1960s. And as I said, the arrangements are so complex. It was unlike anything else coming out in pop music at the time. Again, I brought up John Cage, much closer to avant-garde compositions than what you would get from something like the Beatles or the Hollies. Now, with that said, though, they definitely were a pop band, and they made each one of these songs a certified banger, as with the song we're going to hear, Hang On To Your Ego. This one was not actually released on the record in this edition. It was later retitled I Know There's an Answer, and the lyrics were changed quite a bit because some of the other Beach Boys thought it was a little bit too far out. They didn't understand the lyrics. Really, this is Brian Wilson saying, with your ego, you gotta cut it back. You can't let your sense of self overtake your life. And it's a very profound, very mature theme for a band that has been primarily known as a band talking about girls and hot rods.
Yeah, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about it after this block, but following this, he had the Overly Ambitious Smile album, and they spent a long time recording this, and it was never finished. And part of the reason, there was a couple reasons, part of the reasons is, in the end, I think Brian Wilson just thought it was too weird and out there for the public, and they might isolate their fan base. And then it became this legendary thing. It would be bootlegged, and people would be like, when are you going to release it? What were the tracks? How do I get a copy?
What sort of versions were released as well? Because there were different iterations. There was a kind of a compromised version called Smiley Smile that was not composed of the original recordings from those sessions, but re-recorded material, which was still a weird record in and of itself, yeah. But nothing quite like what Smile would be. Now, we got a kind of version of Smile in 2004 when Brian Wilson was coaxed into revisiting this old material. He even reached out to Van Dyke's Park, who was the co-collaborator you were mentioning before, and was like, yes, let's revisit this. Let's actually make Smile. And he did. So it was one of the crowning achievements of his career in 2004 to do that. And spurred on by that success, the Beach Boys box set, The Smile Sessions, was released in 2011, including on its first disc, as close as we can get, a comprehensive version of Smile as recorded during those initial sessions in 1967. So we're going to hear something from that after this song from Pet Sounds.
Yeah, so let's get to that. I just want to add one more thing. Ironically, everyone was expecting something really weird and out there, and then they were disappointed with that it wasn't weird and really out there when they did Smiley Smile. Although it was weird, it wasn't as...
Smiley Smile was pretty out there.
I mean, like, they were expecting... I don't know what they were expecting, but like...
I think they were more expecting... It didn't have the symphonic range that Pet Sounds did. It didn't have the complexity. It was kind of psych. It was a lot of, like, I guess you could say weird for weirdness' sake. I still like Smiley Smile, but it definitely did not touch the amazingness of Smile itself, whether you're looking at the Brian Wilson version or whether you're looking at the version that landed on the Smile Sessions box set. But we'll let you be the judge. We're going to play a couple tracks from this, as well as some more from the mid-60s discography of the Beach Boys.